Good morning. We are learning the Sefer Zohar Kodesh with Parshas Vayigash. I'd like to share with you an example here of where the Rav Schitzer is trying to get into the Parsha, trying to understand the stories of the Parsha, but of course he's the great Chassidish Rebbe, so he has a different perspective of the way he looks at things. So he's looking at the Pasuk where Yosef sends to Yaakov. It says in the Pasuk, Ula Aviv Shalach Kazos. This is in Perek Memhei, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ula Aviv Shalach Kazos, and to his father he sent like this. Asar Chamorim, 10 donkeys, Nosim Mituv Mitzrayim, carrying the good stuff of Egypt. And that's referring to different kinds of drinks and foods. The Eser Asonos, and then 10 donkeys, she-donkeys. Nosos Bar, V'lechem, V'mazon, La'aviv, La'adarech, carrying grain and bread and food for the road. And without, he just goes straight into the answers. But let's ask the questions. Anyone who's done any traveling will tell you that maybe the most difficult part of traveling is luggage and luggage space. Yaakov is about to come down to Mitzrayim. Is he sending him all the good things from Mitzrayim so he has more stuff to carry? Say, just leave everything and come down, or bring whatever you need. Send him up more stuff that the Yaakov can bring down? That's a very simple question. And then the question is, why does he send donkeys? We'll talk about the wagons soon if we have time, hopefully. But why is he sending he donkeys and she donkeys? Why is it 10? And also, the Pasuk says, Ula Aviv, because it's following after. He gave his brothers clothing, he gave Binyamin extra clothing, and he gave him money. Ula Aviv, and to his father, Shalach Kazos. He sent like this, like the Torah's introducing us into, as if the Torah is saying, oh, and wait till you hear what he sent his father. Otherwise, it should just say, Ula Aviv Shalach, Asara Chamor. To his father he sent like this, 10 donkeys carrying all the good of Egypt. So what the Heiliger Rav Schitzer, the way he's going to understand these psukim, is that a big part of the story of the Jewish people is in this pasuk. So he begins like this. What he's trying to send to him, what he's really sending to him, is Shiyesh b'Mitzrayim Kazos. Is that he's trying to tell him, I've been in Egypt for 22 years, Yosef. I know Egypt, and I understand not just its physical situation, but I also understand its spiritual situation. So you should know that all of the holiness that was in Yaakov and his sons was corresponding to all the impurity that existed in Egypt. And that the world is set up, as he's going to describe to us, in a way where it's zeh l'um hazeh, that there's always, when there's a force for holiness in the world, there's always a force for destruction that counterbalances it, that creates this battle, and the good has to win over the evil. But in the potential, the good and the evil are both there. So he says, that's what he's sending him. Yud kochos atumah, we know there's 10 levels of holiness. But you should know there's also 10 levels of impurity. Zeh l'um hazeh. So at this time, even though there were 70 nations, and there's officially the 70 nations in the world, they break up into smaller parts, just like we have 600,000 neshamas that break up into more parts. So there's more than 7, but there's really only 70 nations. But typically, generally speaking, there's one nation that is the superpower. And that one nation that's the superpower, it's because its angel is in the primary position in the heavenly parliament, if I can say it like that. And that angel holds the top seat, making that nation in this physical world the most powerful nation. And what's going to happen is, and you can look at this, all the superpowers, generally speaking, the more of a superpower a country is, Babylon, Greece, the more they are like that, the more impurity they carry. Because for a nation to dominate the rest of the world in this way, unless it's spreading some message of light, is doing so by force and by and through violence and through war, and all the, that's how kingdoms are developed, and so that's part of their process of their impurity that they're here to spread in the world. She says, "Ki haya az at that time, Sar shel Mitzrayim gadol ma'od." The angel of Egypt was the most powerful of the ministers of heaven. And he had a powerful grasp on the holiness, which opposes it. Meaning that when there's holiness in the world, and then there's an evil force that counters that holiness, that evil force interferes with the holiness. That's what its job is to do. And therefore, as a result of this, the Yaakov and his sons, had they remained, which was going to tell us, had they remained in Eretz Yisrael, then the evil of Egypt would have picked up so much steam and so much power that it could have destroyed the world. Kedmatzinu tells us, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, Shemitzrayim ha'isashniya le'Eretz Yisrael, that in many ways Mitzrayim was secondary to Eretz Yisrael, not just in the sense of the spiritual that he's referring to here, but even in a physical way, like we say, the parts of Egypt were like Gan Eden compared to the rest of the world, even though Eretz Yisrael is greater than even that. But Mitzrayim is described in the Torah as this place that has seemingly blessings. That's because it's secondary to Eretz Yisrael in a certain way. This is why Yaakov has to go down to Mitzrayim. Because by going down to Mitzrayim, he comes face to face with that impurity. And face to face with the impurity, Yaakov is going to beat anyone. And so that's going to subdue Lahash Bilatuma Lavatil Kocha. So by Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim, he lowers the impurity and weakens its strength, its potency. But Meshiesh La Achiza BeKedusha Gadola, specifically its ability to affect us. So, you know, talk about this in terms of Yosef. There was no intermarriage in Mitzrayim. No intermarriage. There was one example of a woman who had a child with an Egyptian, and that was seemingly against her will. And you know, but assimilation as an issue just wasn't there. And the reason is because assimilation is a powerful force that attracts the Kedusha to the Tumah. That's a very powerful force. The impurity and the holiness, the impurity tries to steal the holiness. When Yosef goes down to Egypt and overcomes that challenge, he so weakens that force that creates that attraction that the Jewish people never fell into assimilation, just from Yosef's one powerful act. Now, we know that about Yosef. He's saying that really Yaakov went down. In general, his holiness was to weaken the damage that Mitzrayim could do to the Jewish people. By Yaakov coming down, he weakens its impurity. Shemitzrayim ha'ishniya la'aretz Yisrael, she'ena tachasar. Eretz Yisrael is not under any minister. Eretz Yisrael is direct providence from Hashem. U'mitzrayim shniya la, and since Egypt is the second, so to speak, nimsishu sar arishon. So Egypt has the prime minister. It has the leading angel in the parliament of angels of the heavenly United Nations, which hopefully has better representatives than the earthly United Nations. But you should know, even the earthly United Nations, the reason why they are speaking the way they speak and they act the way they act is because that's their representatives in heaven are also making those same arguments. When an angel in Shemayim is saying, but why should the Jewish people be saved? They've done this Avera and that Avera. And this world, it comes down as those terrible Jews, they're stealing, they're this, they're that. They're making stuff up, but they're making stuff up because in Shemayim, there's a Kitrug. There's a prosecution against us. And so this is, these angels, that's their job. So the angel of Egypt would have had a great power, and the Jewish people would have come down, and we would have assimilated like we did in too many of the other exiles. Ubitul kocho, so to nullify this power, halyal yidei yuridas Yaakov leMitzrayim was why Yaakov has to go down to Mitzrayim. Shoi kaviyachal lebichinas hakedusha, so this was to the holiness. Kamo hashpala beyuridas Yaakov, that you should know Yaakov had to descend. Spiritually, Yaakov had to descend. He was in Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech, when he was driven out of Eretz Yisrael because of Shaul, he says, Hashem, you've driven me away from you. And the Gemara derives from there that leaving Eretz Yisrael is like in some ways like Avodah Zarah, because if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, to leave, you know, just to go. So for Yaakov to go down, that's a descent for Yaakov. It was a descent for Yaakov. And as he's going to explain, but it was for the sake of the Jewish people's survival in the future. Yeridas Yaakov. Yaakov descends. He is the tzaddik yisod olam shel ador ahu. He is the tzaddik, the foundation of the world for that generation. So when Yaakov enters Egypt, the angel of Egypt becomes weaker. And his grasp on holiness becomes weaker. This nullifies the power of impurity. The evildoers become dispersed in this way. Now once the angel of Egypt has been brought down, then once we've brought down the impurity, then if we increase our holiness, that's how the battle is won. Now, with this explanation and this viewpoint of the whole process of the descent, he's going to explain the psukim, and then he's going to come back to our pasuk. V'zeh pirush, Hashem says to Yaakov, Anochi ered imecha mitzrayma. I will go down with you, says Hashem to Yaakov. I will go down with you to Egypt. Hashem doesn't go down, so he's going to read it a little differently, just translation. He's going to translate it differently. He's going to read Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma. I will bring down Egypt with you. I will bring down Egypt with you. Not I will descend to Egypt with you. I will descend Egypt. Shal Yidei Yiridascha, through Yaakov, through your descent, Ephel Yerida LeMitzrayim, we will bring down the impurity of Egypt. She'ered, because I will go down. Pirish Ephel Yerida means She'ered, I will cause to go down. Imcha Mitzrayim, Pirish, with you in Egypt. Lahem Yia Yerida Yidei Yiridascha, meaning I will use your descent as a way of bringing them down. Because otherwise, if you read it the way everyone else reads it, it's difficult. Yaakov is afraid to go down to Egypt, as our sages tell us. Why does Hashem promise him, don't worry, I'll go down with you, and I will bring you up? The kasha, other rabbi, on the contrary, lo yerid Mitzrayim, don't bring me down to Egypt. Lo yetzar chalosim Hashem, don't bring me back up. Yaakov is afraid of going down to Egypt. Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going down too. How does that help? But now you understand, it wasn't Hashem saying, I'm going down to you. Don't worry, by you going down to Egypt, it won't be the same Egypt. This was a way to lower the impurity of Mitzrayim, and a chezes by Kedusha, which has a grasp, which has a hold on the holiness. And then I will bring you up, means, Aliyah Gedola, you will ascend higher because we have brought Egypt down. So, Aliyah Gedola, Mashal Efsharata, you'll be even higher than you are able to now, Shaklipa Vatum alone is Batla, because right now there's a husk of impurity. It's some miles away in Mitzrayim, but it still exists in the world. So, you, Yaakov, you'll actually be able to accomplish more when you go down to Egypt, bring down Egypt, and then go up. As we find that these were the 17 best years of Yaakov's life. Yes?
Don't we learn that Israel, when they left Mitzrayim, they were at the 49th level of Tuma? So how is that bringing down Mitzrayim?
Let me repeat the question. The question is, if this is so true, then why are the Jewish people in the 49th level of Tuma? I'm going to give you two answers. I think they're both true, even though they may sound like they don't work together. One is that Yaakov is bringing down the Tumah of Mitzrayim, not getting rid of it completely. So So in a way, there's no assimilation, and they changed their clothing, their language, because there were these barriers that the Bnei Yisrael were mitsuyanim sham, as we say in the Haggadah, that we were outstanding, we were exceptional, we were separate, and that was caused by that. So even though we fell, it would have been quick and final had not there been this process of lowering Egypt. Like, had Yosef not done this, we would have assimilated into Egypt, we'd never have come out. But that one explanation is that this allows us to eventually come out, otherwise we would have disappeared. That's one idea. Another idea is that also, once Yaakov goes, we didn't take advantage of all the holiness that he brought in, and we allowed ourselves to fall from it. In other words, we could have done better also. We could have held on to that, and we wouldn't have been on the 49th level of Tumah, but we did allow ourselves to fall, and that's part of our failure to go down, which is why we had to, you know, Mila and Karbon Pesach and some merits, but essentially Hashem took us out because of what we're going to do in Har Sinai, because ultimately we have the benefit of what Yaakov did do for us, but we did to some extent fail on our own. Yes?
How can we say that there was no assimilation? You know, the famous Medrash, when the Jewish people come to the Yamsuf and the angels say, you know, these are
Avodah Zarah. Idol worship is not assimilation. That's really what we're saying, is that Yosef specifically stopped that non-Jewish man from looking at that spark within the Jewish woman and saying, I want to take her, and that non-Jewish woman, right? That connection there, that's what Yosef, and what Yaakov did, Yaakov fixed. But there are other issues. There's idolatry. They went to the temples of the, as it says in Sefer Yecheskel, and there were other issues amongst the Jewish people as well. As Moshe says, "Ochei no da hadavar," right? I see what's really going on now. Certainly, there are things there, but not assimilation. Yes.
Is this work today that when a tzaddik comes to any community that somehow the tumor of that community?
Yeah, absolutely. And we should see it that way. Then when a tzaddik comes to a town, it lowers the impurity of that town. And if a tzaddik moves to a town, then that really lowers the impurity of that town, and hopefully brings an elevation. I mean, yeah, people should see it that way. Even if you're not going to that shul or that thing, just the fact that there's a tzaddik in your city should be something that you should recognize is probably helping you keep Shabbos. Right. Okay.
Maybe another way of saying it is that without Yaakov, we would not have had a chance. Meaning,
right, that's sort of that first approach, that Yaakov made it possible for us to even do what we did.
Right.
Okay.
When you say the assimilation with languages, I was with my madeja, and she speaks Spanish, English, and Hebrew. And his kids, they are from Levine. And then I say, why do you speak three languages and you don't want to teach them? That's what happened with the Greeks, because we want to assimilate.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why we assimilate. That, you know, the not properly transmitting the things that need to be transmitted is a good cause of that. Sometimes, yeah, that can be a factor, but that's just one small thing. There's a lot of factors, right? Okay, Valderach ze pirashti akasuf. So he wants to say a new pshat in the Shira by the sea, where we say nachisa bechazdecha amzuga alta. So nachisa usually means like you led them, you guided them, but nachis in Aramaic, hu lashon nachis, means to descend. Darga v'lashon yirida means to go down. So nachisa bechazdecha also means that you brought down, you lowered your kindness. And that was the process of redeeming the Jewish people. Meaning that Hashem had to bring the holiness down into Egypt, had to cause it to descend, the holiness, but that eventually brought about our salvation. That's what it means. Ulaaviv shalach kazos, that he sent to his father kazos, means bechaf hadimyon. The chaf means like. It's like this. This is like that. So it's the comparison chaf. Pirshu yesh kam bechinazel umazeh. He was warning his father and saying whatever holiness you see in Eretz Yisrael, it's kazos, it's exactly like that in Egypt. But the other side, v'zeshnemer kazos, the word zos is a very holy word, ki zosu akdusha, zos represents the Shekhinah, zos represents Malchus. We know this from when it says by Yom Kippur. All of Yom Kippur is summed up in three words, bezos, yavo, aharon. Right, with this, zos, Aaron will come, and that's the word zos is a holy word, and he's saying that Mitzrayim has kazos. Zos Hanukkah. Zos Hanukkah, right. Elchein tzarech, we're after Hanukkah, so, and his Hanukkah story is very deep. This is, Elchein tzarech la'ashpilam al yidei yiridascha, so you have to bring him down through your descent, meaning Yosef is saying to Yaakov, when you come down and you descend into Egypt, please make sure you take down Egypt with you. So he sent him, Asara Chamorim, 10 donkeys, Nosim Mituv Mitzrayim, carrying the best of Egypt. Ki Mitzrayim Klipa Shalai, Klipas Chamor, because the husk of Egypt is represented by the donkey. Chamor being related to the word Chomer, which means physicality and that sort of base. Vasara chamorim and 10 donkeys, remez la'etzer kisser in the Mesavusa, represents the 10 crowns of impurity, meaning the 10 levels of impurity. Shem neged b'chinas ha'kedusha, which corresponds against the holiness, yud sfiras ha'kedushim, the 10 holy spheres. Vashpalas klipa b'zos b'shleimus, but you should know that this husk of the donkey wasn't completely destroyed, as we know, Egypt wasn't, Mitzrayim wasn't the ultimate redemption. There are many things could have happened. Maybe if we had stayed 400 years, maybe if we hadn't done the Egel, you know, who knows? You know, what ifs are a very complicated sugya. But we didn't complete the job. So he says, that's why, Tieh Aide Mashiach Tzidkenu, when Mashiach will come, and he's described in the Sefer Zechariah as Ani V'rochev Al Chamor, as a poor man riding on a donkey. So he's saying the reason why Mashiach is riding on a donkey is Pirush Moshel al Klipas Chamor, meaning that he has control and he has saddled and he's reined in all the aspects of the donkey in this world, all the concepts of materialism, because he will elevate this world to a more spiritually refined level. So that's why he's Ani V'rochev al Chamor, the same Chamor that Yosef is sending to his father to allude to him about what the process that they really need to do in Mitzrayim is. So while this verse looks like it's just Yosef sending luggage and donkeys and whatever, on a deeper level we now understand that Yosef is giving Yaakov a breakdown of what to expect when he gets here and to prepare himself for that. Okay, moving on, a little bit further on, the Zerah Kodesh is looking at the psukim that describe when Yaakov sees. First, when he's told that Yosef is alive, he doesn't believe them. And then it says, Vayar ha'es ha'agalos. And he saw the wagons. Ashashalach Yosef la'seso, so that Yosef sent to bring him. V'tchi ruach Yaakov aviyam, and Yaakov's spirit became alive. So, something about these wagons gets Yaakov to believe in this. So Rashi tells us, everyone knows this. Simon Masalahem, he gave them a sign. When they had parted, Yaakov and Yosef, they had learned the parsha of Egla Arufa. Now there's the Mefarshim, the commentaries really struggle with. What exactly is this message and how was it delivered and what's the point of it? Presumably, on a simple level, everyone understands that Yaakov is not going to believe it's Yosef because, you know, when you've had enough tragedy, at some point you start doubting, God, that can't be real. So Yosef is going to send him something convincing. Now, if Yosef would have just said to his brothers, just tell our father that the last thing we learned before he sent me off was Egla Rufa, somehow that wouldn't have done it. But Yaakov needs to see the wagons. And the question is, what does he have to see the wagons for? And also, an Egla is a calf. An Agala is a wagon. It's the same word, I get it, But what's the need? What's the need for this complicated password code cracking game? Just say I got Rufus. So the rupturist here is seeing that there has to be something more in the message that he's saying to him. And again, I'm not so much focused on, I think some of the commentaries try to prove that this was somehow an identifier for Yosef. But an identifier for Yosef should be simply the fact that he knows the Egla Rufa. But there's something more here. So Darshu Chazal, our sages tell us, Vayaris Agalas HaShashalach Yosef, Darshu Chazal, Shemasalahem Yosef, Parshas Egla Rufa, that Yosef gave them the Parsha of Egla Rufa, which sounds like he told them about the Egla Rufa. He said, you know, if the body is found and you don't know who killed, you bring the calf, you decapitate it. And so when they came up, so if that's the question of Yeshlav and Echayaza Simon Muvak Shuhu Yosef. So how is that a sign that it's Yosef? So, he wants to explain, again, all the Mefarshim, they all give different explanations for why it's the sign that it's Yosef, but he's offering the following. Raki b'mitzvahs egla rufa kasuf, in the mitzvah of egla rufa it says, v'haya ha'ir ha'kreva ala halal, it shall be the city that is closest to the corpse, v'larkhu zikne ha'ir ahu eglas bakar, and so the elders of that city should take this calf, and the elders of that city should take down the calf. And all the elders of the city, they should wash their hands, and they say, forgive the Jewish people. Why the elders of the city? Why is this their job? Why is it that the elders of the city that are closest to the town are responsible for the dead body that's found between the town? You want to say that the whole city? Say the whole city. Why the elders of the city? This is kind of like a carbon. It's not literally a carbon, but it's kind of like a carbon. Raki Amr Chazal, the answer is, Shulchein Ahorig B'Shogeg. Why is it that when someone kills accidentally, Yeshev B'Ir Miklato, that he remains in the city of refuge? Admos HaKohen Gadol, until the death of the Kohen Gadol. What's the reason? Kadesh lo yehiya dorish tov l'Kohen Gadol, because he should pray for the death of the Kohen Gadol. Right? That's why the mother of the Kohen Gadol, she was all friends with all the convicts, right? Because she would bring them food and whatever so that they wouldn't pray for the death of her son. Why is the Kohen Gadol responsible? The answer is, because the Kohen Gadol's job is to daven, that this should not happen in his days. The tzaddik has a responsibility to daven, and when things happen to the tzaddik in this way, the tzaddik recognizes that it's his responsibility. And every tzaddik of every generation is required to daven for his generation. The tzaddikim of the generation are meant to look out for the generation. As the Gemara says, the entire world is sustained b'shvil Chanina b'ni, because of my son Chanina. And meanwhile, he eats a bag of carobs every week. But b'shvil Chanina b'ni means because of Reb Chanina ben Dosa, the whole world is being sustained. Tzaddikim, they daven, and through that, all of us are able to have. And if the tzaddikim don't daven properly, bad things happen. And when bad things happen, it means tzaddikim didn't daven properly. B'zesh Amar Yaakov, and that's why Yaakov says, Ki ered al b'ni avel sha'ola, as we're saying, Yaakov blames himself because he's responsible for the whole generation. And if Yosef was taken, that means that he didn't daven for his children. Now, would that be true for every parent? No. But for Yaakov, it would be because he has that power of tefillah. He's the tzaddik of the generation. And that's why he says, Ki ered al b'ni avel sha'ola, I will descend with my son in mourning to the underground. Ki amru chaya ra chalasu, they said a wild animal ate him. A wild animal got my son? Right? Yaakov, how could that happen to his tefillahs? V'tala Yaakov zel avun al atzmo. So Yaakov said, it must be my sin. Shlo ispalel. I didn't daven. Shlo tishakel chayera es ha'adam. For an animal to take a human being, that's gruesome. That's not really natural. And if his son was righteous, an animal shouldn't have even been able to get him. So based on all this, Yaakov feels, this is my responsibility. Ubefrat tzadik ki Yosef. Yosef's such a tzadik, how does an animal get him? Ubefrat beno, he's my son. Shevada yichi of the Yaakov, the spalas. How many times did Yaakov daven for his children? So for 22 years, Yaakov is thinking about this. What's he thinking about? Parshas Egla Rufa, the parsha of the Egla Rufa. Shetzrichim Zekeinim Kapar, that the elders have to atone, the elders of the town, and Yaakov is the Zekeinim of that town. Amuchach Shetzarich HaTzadik Leispal Kanal, and it's because the Tzadik needed to have davened. Again, Yaakov considered himself, I must have sinned, this is my fault, and he's not wrong, meaning if Yosef had been eaten by a wild animal, then he would have been right, so he's not making incorrect calculations. And we know this from the parasha of Egla Rufa, that the sages, the elders of the town are responsible. And that's what Yosef is saying to him. No calves necessary. I'm alive. It never started. The question never began. A wild animal never got me. You're not responsible. You did nothing wrong. So he's saying, Shalach Yosef is partial as simon. He sent him this as a simon. The Habin Shiba Emes Lo Ira can be Yom if it didn't happen. The Ein Tzarech La Egla Arufa, you don't need an Egla Arufa. You're right. Had Yosef not been alive, Hayat Tzarech La Egla Arufa, it would have been Yaakov's fault. Ulechapari would have needed an atonement. But what he's sending him back is he's sending him back the Agalos. What he's saying is, you don't need to send an Egla. You're not responsible. And so he's actually speaking, not just to tell Yaakov, I'm Yosef and the sign. He's saying to Yaakov, I know what you're thinking. And I know what you've been thinking for 22 years. Take the calf back. It's not necessary. And I want to, if I may, I just steal a little bit from this idea. And suggest that it could be that many times in life, that we take responsibility for something and we beat ourselves up for something. It could also be for something that only seems that way from our perspective. You have Yaakov for 22 years blames himself. I repeat this. He was correct that if this had happened, that's his fault and he would have been responsible and he would have been the Ziknei Ya'ir. But we don't have all the information. Hashem doesn't tell us everything. And so we're also missing information. So we also can't, we're going to make these incorrect calculations. But he adds to this a beautiful remez. Yes?
Isn't it partly Yaakov's fault about what happened with the brothers, that they actually sold them into whatever slavery or whatever you want to say? They sold them?
Yeah, your question is, isn't Yaakov responsible in some ways for the sale? So number one is, yes, from two different angles. One is a Gemara seems to suggest that a parent shouldn't favor one child over the others because of a few pennies of extra stripes on the coat. Look what happened, right? So in some ways. And also we find that in all the different midrashim that talk about the 10 martyrs, there were only 9 brothers who sold Yosef. Why do we have 10 martyrs? Right? So Reuven wasn't there, Binyamin wasn't there, so that leaves 9 to sell Yosef. And so there's different explanations why there's 10 martyrs. Famously, you know, Rabbi Akiva represents Hashem, who took part in the Beis Din, so to speak. There's another approach that Yosef himself he was also responsible for bringing the evil tidings about his brothers to Yaakov, so therefore he's also responsible for his sale, so he's the 10th. But one of the explanations is that Yaakov is responsible. However, responsible for the sale of Yosef and the process goes down to Egypt is a different parsha than when Yaakov believed it happened, which is that one of the 12 Shvatim had been wiped out. And not just wiped out, but eaten by a wild animal in this gruesome form of death. And so if that had been true, then there would have been something wrong with the infrastructure. And that's Yaakov, what he believed happened. So he said, I've done something wrong. And it turns out that wasn't the problem. That wasn't it. And so the sale was the sale, but there's no Egla Rufa. There's no death. There was no death by wild animal.
all of this, but this happened for Matan Torah. He didn't know the Gemara before. How does it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Sometimes people, they say, you know, do people really know? Show me that they knew the Torah. I say, it says in Parshas Noach that these are the kosher animals and these are the non-kosher animals. What are kosher animals, non-kosher animals, right? So they had Shabbos and they had the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but the Avos kept Kala Torah Kula, including Shabbos and other things. The only question is, why did Avram wait so long to do Bris Milah? That's the question. But yeah, the Avos, they kept the Torah because they're Nevi'im, and they understood the Torah better than we do. What do you mean quoting from Gemara? The Gemara comes from Sinai. These are teachings. The laws of the Egla Arufa were given to Moshe at Sinai. So Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all knew. They knew everything that would be taught at Sinai. We're just quoting the Gemara because that's how we know it. Right?
So it fits really nicely, the fact that they sent the Agola, which was not necessary. The fact, once he came and he said, and Yosef sends you a message, we learned,
if it's just to identify,
then that should have been enough, and right. Now he's sending these, you know, meaning that they're almost like these are not necessary.
It's not necessary, right. That's right. Okay, good. So he adds a remez to this, an interesting remez. You don't usually see it like this, because the pasuk says, Vayar es ha'agalos, and he saw the wagons, Ashashalach Yosef Lases also that Yosef sent to carry him. But Chi Ruach Yaakov Aviem, and the spirit of Yaakov came alive. So he says the word Vayar, which means he saw, is the Rashutevos, is the first letters of the four words, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviem, that the spirit of Yaakov came alive. So the word Vayar is Rosh Tevis, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, as if he's saying that the seeing itself, it wasn't the wagons, but it was the insight behind the wagons that caused the spirit of Yaakov to become alive. Very interesting remez, because he's finding one word in the pasuk that contains within it four other words in the same pasuk. Okay, let's move on, because I try to do just a little bit more. Okay, this one's a little bit different perspective than we usually look at things. Vayisa Yisrael v'chala shelo. And Yaakov traveled with all that was his. Vayavo be'erishava, and they came to Be'erishava. So on the way down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov makes a stop in Be'erishava. Amr Chazal v'medrash, the Chazal tell us, Shehalach l'sham lakutz arazim, he went to cut down the cedar trees. Sheshas al sham zakeno, Avraham, that Avraham had planted there. So Yaakov stops in Be'erishava to pick up trees. Strange kind of concept, right? Coming down to Egypt with lumber. The answer is, Ki Yaakov osias yud ekev. He's already told us this before. Yaakov represents the two ideas, yud and ekev. Yud being very high, and ekev being very low. Romez, this is to tell us, Shayikolo b'chachmasu l'sakin kala alamos, that Yaakov could connect to the highest world, Mamish's face on the Kisei HaKavod. And he could have a simple conversation with a shepherd about the time to water the sheep. And Yaakov can fix up there and he can fix down there. Most people are not able to have conversations with astrophysicists and with kindergarten children. Most people can't do both extremes. I mean, I'm saying astrophysicists, not that they're better conversationalists, but I mean conversations about astrophysics with astrophysicists. And still have conversations with kindergarten children. I'm not comparing that, and it's not literally the same. But Yaakov could connect to the most spiritual of realms and also to the most impure. The second color from the top, misata le'ela from the bottom up, or mi'ela le'sata from the top down. V'tikin akol, and so that's why Yaakov created such a level of fixing in this world. She had tekuma le'banav, that he held us up. We're still alive today and observant of the Torah because of Yaakov. So of Kaladoris to the end of all generations. And that's why Yaakov is the middle pole that runs through the center. Mavriach min akatzah al katzah, that goes from end to end. As we say in the Mishkan, there were poles that went on the right side, the top poles on the right side, top poles on the left side. But then there was the pole that went through the walls that went all the way around. That's Yaakov. Shehimshech mebechinas reishus ad achris v'sof kal adoros. Yaakov sanctified himself, his children, all the way down. You carry in you Kedushas Yaakov Avinu. That's why we're called Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael means we're the children of Yisrael. Every one of us. And V'Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso. Yaakov is the rope of Hashem's inheritance. Hashem drew a line and said, everything that's within this Yaakov is mine. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't leave. You can't leave that box. You are connected to Hashem and to Yaakov and to the Jewish people, regardless of what you do. Even when we are in this bitter exile, in the lowest of places, we can't even lift our heads. Because of the weight of the exile, and of course, sometimes that's physically and materially, sometimes that's spiritual. But anyway, galus is galus. V'namas levavenu bekerbenu, and our hearts melt inside us. She'en lanu lev ladas, we don't have a heart to know. Echloshev el Hashem ve'emes belev shalom. How do I return to Hashem with truth and with a complete heart? No, okay. Im kol zeh, with all this, zos nechama seinu. This is our consolation. She'anu achuzim bechevel she Yaakov Avinu. We're all holding on to the rope of Yaakov Avinu. Alav Hashalom. Shuha Briach Haticha. And he is this pole that connects one end to the other. V'vtiach lo Hashem Yisbarach. And Hashem promised Yaakov, Anochi Eridimcha, I will go down with you. V'anochi Elcha Gamalo, and I will come up and bring you up. Who's he talking to? Yaakov. But that's you. Hashem is saying to you, I'm going to go down with you, I'm going to bring you up. Hakeful Mori L'Rab is Gam Geula Hasida. And the repetition, Anochi Elcha Gamalo, Elcha refers to Egypt. And Gamalo refers to now. Gula Hasida, the future redemption. Ki Yaakov itzdar ma'od. Yaakov was in a lot of pain, al galus banav, because of the exile of his children. K'mashe mevuar b'zohar HaKadosh al pasuk, as the Zohar says on the verse, Vayiga bechaf yurecho, when the angel touches the spoon of the thigh of Yaakov, shiramaz lo duchka v'tzara de benoye begalusa basra, that pain that Yaakov felt was really his experience of seeing our pain, of seeing the final exile, of watching, the expulsions and the crusades and the inquisitions and the more expulsions and pogroms and the Holocaust and massacres and libels. And Yaakov sees all this. That's the Vayiga Bekaf Yerech Yaakov. That's what puts Yaakov's thighs, his hips, in so much pain. V'nicham oso Hashem Yisbarach, so Hashem consoles him. Lo yikareo Shimcha Yaakov. Your name won't be anymore Yaakov. Kiim Yisrael. Ki Yaakov Mora Halashpala Ve'ekev, because Yaakov is indicating of that lower space, the Ekev, the heel. The Yisrael has the word Lashon Rosh in it. That's the Rosh, the head. She Yisrael, Yosias, in fact, the word Yisrael is Li Rosh. To me, is the head. Mora Al Sarara Gedula, suggesting that the Jewish people are the princes and the leaders. So in order to accomplish this, Yaakov has to make this trip, the stop on the road. V'zeram is Khan, that's what happens here. V'yisa Yisrael Be'er HaShava, he comes to Be'er Sheva. Eretz Yisrael is not just a country. Eretz Yisrael is an entity of Kedusha. And Eretz Yisrael, all the way at the top of Eretz Yisrael, is referred to by our sages as the land of Dan. And all the way to the bottom of Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Be'er Sheva. And the Gemara always says, from Dan to Be'er Sheva. So that's a physical space. But Eretz Yisrael is also a spiritual place. And the spheres of Hashem, the upper He and the lower He of Hashem's name, the attribute of Bina, which is the upper He, and the attribute of Malchus, which is the lower He. Be'er Sheva is the wellspring of seven, because seven is Midas Malchus, that's the Shechina, that's the divine attribute of Malchus. That's the seventh of the seven Midas, right? We say the Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Malchus. So Be'er Sheva is the wellspring of the Shechina's presence, and And that's what it means from Dan to Be'er Sheva, means from the upper hay to the lower hay, it means from Bina to Malchus, it means the spiritual levels of Eretz Yisrael. So before Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, he has to, so to speak, traverse the spiritual realm of the Be'er Sheva, you think of, for example, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus. Right? This is this. Who's Chesed? Avram. Who's Yitzchak? Gevurah. Anyone knows these Shpiz and can fill out this list, right? Netzach and Hod. Who's Malchus? David. Right? What's his wife's name?
Michal.
His real wife. Bathsheba. Right? Because she's Bathsheba, right? Right, that's so. If we understand that everything that's in the physical world is a spiritual equivalent, so the city of Be'er Sheva represents this midah. So he's saying, Rome is al midas malchus, midas shvius, the seventh midah. He has shchina hakadosha, sheshochenes betachtonim, which is the aspect of Hashem that dwells within us. Right? That's why it's feminine, because it's the aspect that rests within our realm. It's not female people. Confused, but it's feminine. But the Knesset Yisrael is called the congregation of Israel. It's the collective Jewish people. It's the collective neshamas, but it's the Shechina. We don't have time for a Kabbalah lesson right now. But Amri Chazal, so our sages tell us, Shehalach Lakutz Arazim, he's cutting down the cedar trees, Sheshasal Avram, that Avram planted. Meaning, Sheikah Chesachasadim, Avram is Chesed. He took all the chesed that Avram had collected, that Avram had planted into the land physically. But this lumber carried in it the spiritual feelings and thoughts and intentions of Avraham Avinu that these trees carried. And ligro machasadim leknesset Yisrael, and the Jewish people carried that down into Egypt, meaning we carried all that chesed through Be'er Sheva, at Sof Kol Hadoros, and this carries us at Bias Meshichenu, Shiyava Bimhera Biyomenu. So once again, just to run through this, all three points quickly. The first is that when Yaakov is, and when Yosef sends to Yaakov these 10 donkeys with all the stuff, this isn't just random, but rather he's preparing Yaakov to come down to Mitzrayim, to bring down Mitzrayim in order that the Jewish people can survive there, and there could be an elevation, a fixing process that happens through that. Then he tells us that the agalos that were sent was to convince Yaakov that your calculations were correct, your information was not. And the agalos are not necessary, and so here's a refund. And then finally, Vayisa Yisrael, that cutting down the trees is not just cutting down the trees, it's not just, but rather Yaakov is preparing all the Jewish people for all time that we should survive. And in order for that to happen, Yaakov had to carry that chesed of Avram, which is in the lumber, in these cedar trees, bring them down to Mitzrayim. But the point is that Yaakov creates this fence around him and his descendants, and you are Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso, you're tied in the rope, you are spiritually holy, you are connected to Hashem, you are a divine being, whether you like it or not. And so we have to recognize that even when we're in Galus, we're still connected, we still have this power, not necessarily because we're that great, although we could be, but not, even without that, we are the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's what it means. Atzof kol adoros, Hashem chose us and keeps us connected, and He will watch over us, and He will bring us back to see the Geula Shlema, b'mher b'yamenu.